was a mistake. Whoever wrote my name on the board out here to give class, because when it was time for class, about 75% of the devotees left the temple room. So maybe if my name hadn't been there, more people would come to the class. I don't know. I apologize that you have to tolerate me for the next, I don't know, how long? How long is this class? 9:15. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshumilitanjena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. King Parikshit said, "My Lord Bhadarayani, we wish to hear from you in detail how the king of the elephants, when attacked by a crocodile, was delivered by Hari." Text 32. Tatkatasu mahatpunyan danyan swasjayanan shubham yatra yatro tamashloko bhagavan giyate harihi. Any literature or narration in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Uttama Shloka, is described and glorified is certainly great, pure, glorious, auspicious, and all good. Text 33. Shri Suta Vacha Parikshatayvan Satu Bhadarayani Prayopavishtena katasuchoritaha uvacha viprapratinandya partavan muda muninan sadasi smashrin vatam. Sutta Goswami said, "O Brahmins, when Parikshit Maharaj, who was awaiting impending death, thus requested Shukadev Goswami to speak, Shukadev Goswami, encouraged by the king's words, offered respect to the king and spoke with great pleasure in the assembly of sages who desired to hear him." So now responsively, text number 32. Tat katasu mahatpunyan danyan swasjayanan shubham yatra yatro tamashloko bhagavan giyate harihi. Harihi. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Any literature or narration in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Uttama Shloka, is described and glorified is certainly great, pure, glorious, auspicious, and all good. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world simply by describing Krishna. We have published many books, including Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in 17 volumes, 400 pages each, as well as Bhagavad Gita and the Nectar of Devotion. We are also publishing Srimad Bhagavatam in 60 volumes. Wherever a speaker holds discourses from these books and an audience hears him, this will create a good and auspicious situation. Therefore, the preaching of Krishna consciousness must be done very carefully by the members of the Krishna consciousness movement, especially the sannyasis. This will create an auspicious atmosphere. Verse again, Tat katasu mahat punyan dhanyan swasjayanan shubham yatra yatro tamashloko bhagavan giyate harihi. Any literature or narration in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Uttama Shloka, is described and glorified is certainly great, pure, glorious, auspicious, and all good. Of course, we know that Srila Prabhupada gave particular emphasis to certain literatures. Like he said that we only need 4 books. Well, sometimes he said we only need 1 book, Bhagavad Gita. Or sometimes he said we only need 1 book, Srimad Bhagavatam. But especially he identified 4 books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Nectar of Devotion. So there's certainly plenty of reading material there. Srila Prabhupada said that every verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam is important. Every verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam is profound. And he said that to really understand each verse, you would have to study each verse for a month. So there are 18,000 verses in Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's 18,000 months, which is 1,500 years. Now, like for instance, we've been reading these lists of names, and the tendency is to wonder, well, what does this have to do with my problem with controlling my senses? Or what does it have to do with chanting Hare Krishna? Right? That's our problem, is we don't understand what it has to do with it, because we're spiritually blind. We don't understand the connection to Krishna. It's like Radhanath Maharaj said on Sunday, that if you say something about the weather, Sukadeva Goswami would find a way to connect it to Krishna. Everything's connected with Krishna. But we're in Maya, we're in illusion, so we don't see its connection to Krishna. What to speak of every verse, every word in the Srimad Bhagavatam is important. So there's substantial reading material for us. How are we going to read all these books? That seems like a big project. And in one sense, the most important project. Devotees get enthusiastic about projects in ISKCON. But how about that project? Studying thoroughly Srila Prabhupada's books. That's a never-ending project. Plenty of engagement. But difficult to accomplish for most devotees. Because we are heavily conditioned by material desire, and therefore we have a tendency not to take our time to study transcendental literature. Srila Prabhupada said that to have an attraction for studying transcendental literature, one has to be desireless, have no material desires. Okay, well, you know, then if that's the case, then nobody would ever study Prabhupada's books. Who's completely desireless? And ironically, it's by studying the books, by hearing, that you become desireless. So what do you do? You have to start somewhere. That's one answer. We have to start somewhere. Start with just a little bit. Even if it's just a little bit. At least, first of all, we have to recognize that we have this problem. We don't have a taste for hearing transcendental sound vibration. That's honest. It's humble. Even if you're reading a lot, even if you're reading a lot of Prabhupada's books, but still, the humble position is, actually, I don't have a taste for this. I need to develop a taste. Like Lord Chaitanya, for instance, was praying Nam Namakari Bahuda Nijasarva Shaktis. You're making chanting so easily available, but I'm so unfortunate. I don't have any taste. This is our problem. So we have to cultivate a taste. How do we cultivate a taste for hearing transcendental sound vibration? Anybody offer a possibility. Yes, sir. Yes. Very good. Here's a scholar. By serving the devotees, right? That's the verse. Serving the devotees. By serving the devotees, one develops an urge to hear the transcendental messages of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, either from him himself, what he says, or topics about him. Yeah, the urge to hear, just think about that word, urge. It's like urge means like you can't control it. It's like I gotta do it. There's no other possibility. It's like in the material world we have urges, right? Srila Prabhupada said that in the material world there are two kinds of happiness. One is having sex and the other is passing stool. So when you think about it, both of those are really intense urges, and people have a hard time controlling themselves, right? So just think, if we apply that same concept to hearing transcendental sound vibration, I gotta hear it. I can't not hear it. I must. It's just like we have the urge to go take prasadam. As soon as it's time for prasadam, everybody's immediately there, right? So in the same way, the urge to hear Krishna's transcendental messages comes from engaging in service to the devotees of the Lord. Of course, we understand that we want to apply our service to those devotees who are very advanced. Nectar of Instruction, I think, says that those devotees who are devoid of the propensity to criticize others. So those who are most advanced, we want to give our service to. But that doesn't mean we ignore or neglect the other devotees. That serving any devotee, every devotee, will help us develop this urge to hear Krishna's messages. Especially serving those devotees who already have an urge to hear Krishna's messages. Those who are already absorbed in Krishna Katha, especially serving them, we also develop that. It wears off on us. It becomes, we become contaminated, you could say, by that same urge. So this is the secret. When we serve the devotees of the Lord, then we develop an urge to hear his transcendental messages. Then, from that, there's a series of verses. I think the first one in that series is the one that Ajahn Prabhu quoted, right? Text 16. That then there's a series of verses, six or eight verses, that explain that then, by regularly hearing, then one gradually gets beyond the modes of passion and ignorance, gets into the mode of goodness, and from goodness then to Shuddha-sattva, or pure goodness, or the transcendental realm. Sometimes devotees wonder, why are we interested in the mode of goodness? I thought that's just, you know, the material world, and it's just another, like it's a high-class prison, sort of. Well, the reason is because that's the platform from which we can develop Krishna consciousness. We aren't, as Vaishnavas, the point is not to be attached to the mode of goodness. Yes, it's just a material mode. It's another aspect of the material world. But we are in the material world, and we have to have a platform from which we can develop our Krishna consciousness. That's the mode of goodness. So, anyway, starting with serving the devotees, developing an urge to hear Krishna's transcendental messages, rising up through the different modes to the mode of goodness, then Shuddha-sattva, purified goodness, which means the transcendental realm. We are in a highly contaminated atmosphere, and therefore our strong tendency is to be contaminated. To avoid that, we need to do something very powerful, something very big. It's not easy. One time Srila Prabhupada, well, not once, this happened two or three times, but one time in particular I know about, that Srila Prabhupada was walking with his disciples in London. It was middle of winter, very cold, below freezing, and they came to some small mud puddles, and the mud puddles were frozen over. So Srila Prabhupada stopped in front of one and tapped it with his cane, and he said, "What is this?" Nobody said anything. What can you say? You're looking at a frozen mud puddle, and your spiritual master asks you, "What is this?" So nobody wanted to say that it's ice, because that was pretty obvious. But anyway, finally somebody said, some brave soul said, "Well, Srila Prabhupada, it's ice." And Prabhupada said, "No." And he tapped it again. He said, "What is this?" So then somebody said, "But Srila Prabhupada, it is ice." Takes a lot of courage. Srila Prabhupada said, "No." He said, "It is not. It is not ice." He said, "It is water. But it's in an unnatural condition. In its natural condition, it's water. But now, because of the cold atmosphere, therefore it has become hard and cold." He said, just like our hearts. Our hearts are naturally soft and warm. We are naturally in love with Krishna. We want to serve and love Krishna. But we're in an atmosphere that is just the opposite. This atmosphere, the material atmosphere, makes our hearts hard and cold, and we don't want to serve Krishna. So, like that. This is the atmosphere we're in. This is the material world. And just like if you want to melt the ice, you need some heavy heat. So in the same way, if we want to melt our hearts, our own hearts, the hearts of others, we need a big, heavy dose, lots of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. This, please, everybody, turn off your mobile phones. This is not the time or the place for mobile phones. Thank you. That we need something very powerful to be able to counteract this atmosphere. Therefore, we need a lot of hearing and chanting, not just a little bit of hearing and chanting. Although starting out with a little bit is good. It's starting out with something. Let's say, for instance, that you're not in the habit of reading Prabhupada's books. Now, I know that here in Chaupati, we have a community full of scholars, and so probably 99% of you are in the habit of reading Prabhupada's books every day. But let's just suppose you aren't, and then you decide you're going to start on a program of reading Prabhupada's books. But your habit is not to. So then you make a vow. Okay, from today, I'm going to read Prabhupada's books for 1 hour every day. What do you think your mind will say about that? Huh? What? Huh? No time. Your mind will freak out. You may survive one day, but to make a vow like that and to keep it just suddenly is not so easy. Therefore, but if you can, that's great. Fantastic. If you can make a vow to read Prabhupada's books 5 hours a day, fantastic. But usually most people can't do that because we're creatures of habit. One of our main problems is habit. We have bad habits. We're in the habit of thinking materially. We're in the habit of, we have an urge to hear material things, mundane topics. We love to hear mundane topics, right? As soon as there's a mundane topic, immediately, oh, yeah, that's interesting, right? It's a habit. We need to change the habit. Good habits are usually hard to establish. Bad habits are easy to establish. And easy to break, too. Difficult to break. Bad habits are easy to establish and difficult to break. Good habits are difficult to establish, but easy to break. This is not from the Bhagavatam. I'm just giving my own realization. But anyway, it's a matter of habit. So we have to start somewhere. Start with something. Whatever it is, even if it seems ridiculously tiny, fine, start with that. You can't say you don't have any time. How many of you have ever had the experience of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books on the street? Raise your hand, please. Nice and high. Okay. And what happens when someone tells you, what do you think when someone tells you no time? What goes on in your mind? What do you think? Chamasmi Prabhu, veteran Sankirtan devotee. Do you have time to eat? Okay, good. Okay, what's another answer? What do you think of? Yes, sir, in the back. I can't hear him. Somebody has to repeat it. What's that? Okay. Okay, what's another response? Just what's your automatic response? Somebody tells you no time. What do you think? What's your immediate impulsive response? Not necessarily philosophical response, just what goes on in your mind? Huh? Crazy guy. Okay, what else? You have one? No. Yes, ma'am. Repeat, Krishnanam Prabhu, please repeat. Krishna, please bless him. That's good. Very compassionate response. I'll tell you what I think when somebody says no time. I think liar, cheater, right? So same applies to studying Prabhupada's books. If you say you have no time, sorry, doesn't wash. And I'll tell you why I say this. Because I did a little study and discovered that the average Bhagavad Gita verse in Sanskrit and English takes 20 seconds to read. Who is there who doesn't have 20 seconds? And if you just put aside the purports for the moment, but if you just read the verses, Sanskrit and English, let's say you can only spare 20 seconds a day. Obviously, I'm taking this to a ridiculous point, okay? But sometimes it is like that. It's ridiculous. That sometimes devotees go days and days and days without reading anything. Right? True or not? Okay. But you can always read one verse. Sanskrit and English. 20 seconds, right? If you really have a big break in your other activities, you can read three verses. That's 1 minute. So, what happens if you read one verse a day? In 2 years, you've read the whole Bhagavad Gita. Not the purports, but you've read the verses at least. Now, let's say, for instance, you get really enthusiastic. From reading just that one verse a day, you get like, somehow or other, you get fired up. And you decide you're going to read the purport too. The word-by-word translations and the purports too. Average verse and purport, I didn't investigate that, so I'm just speculating. But I'm sure the average verse and purport is less than 5 minutes. So you read one verse and purport a day. in Bhagavad Gita every day. In 2 years, you'll have read the whole Bhagavad Gita, which I expect is a lot more than 99% of the devotees in ISKCON. What do you think, Janmasthami Prabhu? Yeah? That's a big accomplishment. You know, you want a project? Make that a project. Everybody likes a project. Fine, make that your project. To read Bhagavad Gita, the whole thing, includes the introduction, too. You have to read the introduction. Introduction, verses, word-by-word translation, purport, everything. Okay? You read one verse a day, verse and purport. In 2 years, you'll have read the whole Bhagavad Gita. It's a big accomplishment. Now, what do you do with Bhagavatam? Well, that's a little bit more difficult, 18,000 verses. Now, let's say, and back to Bhagavad Gita, if you read two verses a day, it means every year you're reading the whole Bhagavad Gita. Now, let's say somebody might say, which this is a common argument, oh, but you know, it's so boring, you know, it's just the same old thing over and over again. Right? And your mind tells you that too. Mind's a rascal. We have to, first of all, that's a very important point. The default for the mind is rascal. Just like on the computer, default is what your computer does if you don't tell it to do something else. Okay? So your mind, the default for your mind is rascal. Bhagavad Gita says the mind can be the best of friends or the worst of enemies. But the default is worst of enemies. That's the tendency. So, first of all, you have to be careful about the mind. So the mind will say, yeah, it's the same old thing, you know, okay, I know. Bhagavad Gita, I know what's in Bhagavad Gita. You're not the body, okay, I know. I've heard it a million times, okay? All right. Now, I know the philosophy. Now I'm busy serving. I'm engaged in doing what Bhagavad Gita says. So I don't have time to read. I already read. Now it's time to serve. Right? Yeah, and besides, it's the same old things. Do your duty. I know. You're not the body. Do your duty. Surrender to Krishna. Okay, that's what I'm doing. I'm surrendered to Krishna. Why do I need to keep reading it? Right? This is what the mind tells you. Anybody know why we have to keep reading it? Or why we should keep reading it? Nobody knows? Well, you got a serious problem here. What? Yes. Navrita Tarshaya Bhagiyamanas. Yeah. Yeah, bhavau shuddhi. It's the medicine. Bhava means the bhava rog, or the disease of material life. The disease of birth and death, the skin disease, attachment to the body. If you're beyond that disease, if you don't have that problem anymore, then you don't need any more medicine, you're okay. You're a completely self-realized soul. You're beyond anything, everything. Forget it. You're gone. That means you're in Krishna Loka already. But even a person who thinks he doesn't have that, even a person, let's say, who doesn't have the disease, but he's very humble and he thinks he does have the disease. Srila Prabhupada used to describe himself as very fallen. And great sages in the past. It's not that they're just like trying to demonstrate humility or something. They actually think like that. The first sign of an advanced devotee is that he thinks that he's not advanced. And the first sign of somebody who's not very advanced is he thinks he's really advanced. So, yeah, bhavau shuddhi. Navrita tarashaira bhagiyamanas bhavau shuddhach chotra manobhiramat. That this is the right medicine. This hearing is the right medicine for our disease. And the thing is that because of this atmosphere we're in, our strong tendency, even if we are okay for a day or two, but the tendency is to have a relapse of this disease. Very strong tendency. So we have to keep taking the medicine. Not that once you take the medicine down, now I'm okay. It doesn't work like that. We have to keep taking the medicine. That's one answer. What's another answer? Why we should keep reading Bhagavad Gita every day? Well, all scriptures, but let's say particularly right now we're talking about Bhagavad Gita. Yes. What's that? What do you say? Huh? For preaching? Is that what he said? What's that? Yeah, we have to know it well in order to give it to others. That's a good point. Okay, what's another reason? Yeah. Sharpen the intelligence. Okay. What else? What's that? Yeah, the thing is you get more, the more we read it, the more we hear it, the more realization we get. You get deeper and deeper realization. What does Sanjaya say at the end of the Bhagavad Gita? He says, by repeatedly hearing this conversation, I become thrilled. And Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is a thrill at every moment. Just think of that word, thrill. That's a pretty big word. You know, why do people do things like drive fast cars, for instance? They want a thrill. Why do they, you know about this, there's a sport now, I don't know if it's made it to India yet, called bungee jumping. You know what this is? Unbelievably ridiculous activity. It's like you get in this giant elastic band, right? And you jump off a cliff or something, and then you bounce back. Why is it thrilling? Well, because you can die, that's why. It's quite exciting. There's another one that's becoming more popular, even than bungee jumping. You'll never believe this one. Jumping out of airplanes. Yeah? Doesn't it sound like something you want to do? You know? Something I always wanted to do is jump out of an airplane. An unfulfilled desire. I may have to come back to the material world in order to fulfill that desire. Anyhow, people want thrills. But Sanjaya says, here's the thrill. Hearing Bhagavad Gita, hearing this conversation between these two great souls, Krishna and Arjuna. He says, that's a thrill. And he says, again and again and again. It's ever fresh. It's new. If you are reading Bhagavad Gita and you find it boring, that doesn't mean Bhagavad Gita is boring. That means you're boring. Right? Because in order to appreciate transcendental sound vibration, you have to be a little bit transcendental. Like toward the end of the Madhya Lila, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj says that anybody who doesn't have a taste for hearing this literature is envious. He says, envious like pigs and hogs. Those are the words he uses. These aren't Prabhupada's words. These are Krishnadas Kaviraj's words. They're envious like pigs and hogs. They don't want to hear. We should think like that. If I don't want to hear transcendental literature, I'm just an envious pig. Okay? So, yes, this is meant to embarrass us. Exactly. We should feel embarrassed. And therefore, we need to scrape the time somehow or other to study Prabhupada's books. And we make a strategy, just like I mapped out a little strategy for reading Bhagavad Gita. And you get in a habit. It's a matter of habit. Just like you're in the habit of chanting 16 rounds, you're in the habit of coming to Mangal Arati. It's a question of habit. So we need to develop good habits like this. We have to have a strategy for accomplishing this. Otherwise, we'll never accomplish it. And that's dangerous. Also toward the end of the Madhya Lila and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada said that, he wrote that, he said, not exactly these words, but more or less, he said that all of my disciples must read all of my books. He said if they don't, then eventually they'll just eat, sleep, and fall down. How are you going to read all of Prabhupada's books? 18,000 verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. You have to have a plan. And the thing is that we don't know how long we have left. We're planning so many things. Everybody's got their like 1 year plan, 5 year plan, 10 year plan, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody's planning exactly to die, right? We don't think about it at every moment, every day. We got some plan. Okay, here's what I'm going to do this afternoon, and tomorrow I'm going to da-da-da-da-da. Even devotees, right? We make plans. You have to. You can't function without making plans. But we don't know, actually, that we're going to be around for that plan. Just like, let's say, for instance, if you think, okay, well, I'm too busy to read today. I'll read tomorrow. Well, you don't know if tomorrow's going to come. You may not have the opportunity tomorrow. If we take it as like an absolute necessity, I must do it today, then it's compelling. Yeah, look at these people in the Mumbai train station last November, right? They had so many plans. Everybody had plans, right? But the one thing on their to-do list was not getting shot at by some guys with machine guns. They didn't plan that. I don't understand it. I got my to-do list. You know, that wasn't on it. How did it? Where did it come from? Well, that's the way the material world is. Everybody has plans that for things that they think are going to benefit them, that they want to do, that are going to make their life better. Nobody plans the other stuff. On your to-do list, you don't have things like that. Yeah, get shot at by terrorists, get hit by a bus, swine flu, right? Nobody puts these things on their list. Break my arm, you know, whatever. But these things are happening. Well, where did it come from if it's not on your to-do list? It's the way the material world is. So we need to make a plan that will help us to hear as much as possible as soon as possible. Srila Prabhupada said we should organize our lives in such a way that we have maximum opportunity for hearing and chanting. I know one devotee, he's a householder. He has a job as a security guard at night. Now, I don't know what he's going to do if anybody breaks into the building. He's about my size. They don't let him carry a gun. He doesn't know martial arts. But, you know, they just want somebody looking after the building, right? So every once in a while he has to, like every 3 or 4 hours, he has to take a walk and see everything's okay. So what does he do the rest of the time? Reads Bhagavatam. He reads Bhagavatam something like 4 hours a night. Reads Bhagavatam probably more than anybody in ISKCON. Anyhow, the point is that whatever your situation, everybody has different situations, fine. But the point is to organize ourselves in such a way we have maximum opportunity for hearing and chanting, and in particular for studying Prabhupada's books. Yeah, make a strategy, even if it's a long-term strategy. 18,000 verses. If you read 100 verses a day, you'll read the whole Bhagavatam in a year. Hardly anybody's going to do that. But if you read, I figured it out. Can't remember exactly how the calculations went, but if you read 10 verses a day, verses and purports, you read the entire Bhagavatam in 5 years. Now, again, for most devotees, that's probably pretty good. It's probably more than most devotees do, right? So it may seem like ridiculous. Well, 5 years, you know, it's like long term. Okay, but it's better than what's already going on. And the more we do this, that we cultivate a taste for it. The more we hear, the more we study Prabhupada's books, the more we get a taste for hearing Prabhupada's books. Whatever you do a lot, whatever you like practice, it takes practice. Actually, hearing is a skill. And just like any other skill, making chapatis, for example, except for Indian ladies, they're born with the ability to make chapatis. But other than that, people have to practice. Let's say a skill like playing football. How do people get to be professional football players? Not by reading a book about playing football. Maybe they did that too. But they spent hours and hours and hours playing football. Unbelievable waste of time. But anyhow, they became skilled. What does your father do for a living? Oh, he kicks a ball. Wow. He's really good at kicking balls. Yeah, okay. And they pay him millions of dollars to do it, too. Amazing, huh? Not only that, not only does he make millions of dollars for kicking the ball, but there's millions of people who pay money to watch him kick the ball. What a skill to develop in human life, right? How'd you spend your life, your human life? Kicking a ball. You know, on your deathbed, I have no regrets. I spent my whole life kicking a ball. It was a good life. Anyhow, hearing is a skill. It has to be practiced. It has to be practiced daily. Otherwise, we get out of the habit. We have to make it a habit. So make a strategy. Let's say, okay, you know, whatever it is, whatever your strategy is, make it small. Fine. Start small. Work up. But we have to have a strategy for studying Prabhupada's books. And especially Prabhupada's books, but here Prabhupada's also saying, or the verse also says, any literature that glorifies Krishna creates an auspicious atmosphere. Not only the literature, but those who are speaking from the literature or about the literature, that creates an auspicious atmosphere. So any books that are, how do you say, like we have this, one of the 10 offenses, to blaspheme the Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. So that means anything in pursuance of the Vedic version, books that are glorifying the books, for example, or books that are glorifying Prabhupada, for example. Even there was, you can't exactly say it's literature glorifying Krishna, but there was at least one occasion when a devotee showed Srila Prabhupada a newspaper article that was criticizing us. And the devotee was very upset. And Prabhupada said, let me see that article. And he looked at the article. He said, oh, just see how many times he's mentioned the name Krishna. So it's not exactly what you'd call transcendental literature, but the point is Prabhupada saw that as positive. So, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, when he was evaluating articles for the harmonist, he would decide its value according to how many times the name Krishna appeared in it. So anyway, the point is, any transcendental literature is valuable, but especially we need to concentrate on the books that Srila Prabhupada has given us. Srila Prabhupada is the common denominator of ISKCON. He's what's holding ISKCON together. And to understand Srila Prabhupada, to understand his mission, to understand this philosophy, we need to study Srila Prabhupada's books. Every devotee needs to study Srila Prabhupada's books. You can't just leave it up to somebody else. Well, I'll just follow so-and-so. He's studying. No, you have to do it yourself. And not just Prabhupada's books, but his lectures, his letters, conversations, and pastimes written by his disciples. It's a lot to do. Good project. Do we have time for questions? Huh? Okay. Yes, sir. Krishna Nam Prabhu. We have a traveling mic.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for a very nice class. As you said, you know, it's theoretically very easy to read Srila Prabhupada's books, but once you really get down to it, there are so many problems you encounter, you know, particularly you feel sleepy and bored, and you know, so many of those. This, and particularly the fact that, as you said, 5 years in order to complete the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, you really get overpowered just by thinking of that. But then sometimes, you know, some devotees, they say that we have books that have been written by disciples of Srila Prabhupada, like Puna Pragya Prabhu has written these beautiful books on Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharata and Chaitanya Charitamrita and, I don't know, story form. So how relevant is it to read those books as compared to reading Srila Prabhupada's books?
Well, I can just give you my own realization that there's nothing that can compare to Srila Prabhupada's books. Reading books like that is good. It's nice. It's fine. But we shouldn't use that as an excuse for not reading Prabhupada's books. In one sense, you could say it's hard work. Prabhupada said hearing is an austerity. If we look at it like that, it's something that we need to do. It's a duty. So, yeah, we can't use that as an excuse. Well, I'm reading so-and-so Maharaj's books. No, it's not the same. Sorry. Or this other one that, I'm doing so much service. I'm just engaged in service 24 hours a day. But as one devotee said, don't hide behind your service. In other words, service, that's what we're supposed to be doing, yes. But we also need to do the internal cleansing, the internal purification. It also comes from service, but it also comes from hearing. And especially if a little reading of Prabhupada's books will tell you that the verses themselves say it again and again and again, that the primary thing is hearing, 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 hearing. Prabhupada says it again and again and again. So, but especially we have to hear from Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, and also hear about Krishna in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, and to hear especially from Srila Prabhupada. We have so many pure devotees in our movement, but Srila Prabhupada is in a special category. And besides that, he's the founder acharya of our movement. So we need to give special prominence to Srila Prabhupada's books. Something else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Guruji. We hear many lectures and sometimes we read also books. There are so many instructions in that. But instructions by Prabhupada or devotees, instructions to us. But 10th offense is that to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter.
Maintaining what?
Maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. It's 10th offense. So if I am reading or I am hearing from devotees and not following up to the standard, then that is offense. So should I read, stop reading? Following is long-term job, not means it will not going to happen instantly, as we say.
That's a really good excuse. I like that one. If you hear the instruction but you don't follow it, then you're making an offense, so better not to hear it. Right? Actually, I know devotees who specifically don't want to get a direct instruction from their spiritual master because they're afraid they won't be able to follow it. It's exactly that reason. It sounds crazy, but I know devotees like that. No, that's not a good reason. No, because the thing is, you see, that as we're reading it, we are gradually getting purified. And also, by keeping on reading it, we feel guilty that we're not following the instruction. That's good. Pop psychologists will tell you it's not good to feel guilty. They're wrong. Philosophically, it's very good to feel guilty. Because if you don't feel guilty, then you won't make any correction. If you come into a room and you think it's clean, you won't want to clean it. Right? So we should feel guilty. I'm contaminated. I'm in Maya. So that's one of the advantages of reading Prabhupada's books is that our consciousness becomes more clarified. We understand what our real position is, our real situation is. And by studying Prabhupada's books, we get the strength to overcome these attachments you're talking about. Gives us the realization. It takes realization. The more we read them, the more we try to follow them, even you may be deficient. That's okay. Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna that every endeavor is covered by some fault. Of course, you're going to be inadequate in following the instructions. So what? You do the best you can, and then you'll get better at it. When you first start making chapatis, unless you're an Indian Mataji, when you first start making chapatis, they won't look like, they won't be actually chapatis, probably. Most people, when they start making chapatis, the chapati looks like a map of New Zealand. And it doesn't puff up. But how do you get better at making chapatis? You can't think, oh, well, that's an offense. I better stop making chapatis. I can't have chapatis that look like a map of New Zealand. No, you just keep on making chapatis and they'll get better. Gradually they'll become more round and they'll puff up. And you understand? So like I said, it's a skill. We need to practice. So we keep hearing and we get the realization to be able to follow those instructions better. It's okay? Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.